You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are finishing up the parenting section, and we're actually taking a little bit of a deviation, and we're migrating into how to speak to school personnel on behalf of children and parents. So often we will get roped in to dialogue with principals, teachers, staff at schools, specifically sometimes daycares as well. And we need to know how to handle that best, how to ensure that that is the best received by the school, because often they don't particularly want a therapist involved. And so we're going to dive into how to communicate with school personnel and school staff in the most effective way, not only from the child-centered play therapy perspective, but also from support of the child and the parents. But before we dive into that, a couple of housekeeping updates. First, if you go to Play Therapy now, we are going to make that the hub of everything that we're doing, and that will include CEUs. So many of you all are reaching out to us about when I'm going to be doing CEUs, for what APT chapters, what will they be on. I'm feeling the need for CEUs all over the world, so I'm so excited about that. You will be able to go to Play Therapy now, and you'll get not only the newsletter and the collective and all things CCPT, but that will newly include all CEUs that are coming up. And speaking of CEUs, on March 29th, I will be doing a filial training with Corewell. So if you are interested in learning more about filial therapy, specifically child-centered filial therapy, and specifically using the curriculum child-parent relationship training. So if you are new to any of that, if you would like to add using CPRT to your practice and your suite of services so that you're not only seeing children, but you can also coach parents, I would highly encourage you to check that out. That will be March 29th, and you can go to childcenteredtraining.com to get the link directly to sign up for that. It is limited to 50 live seats. It will be for APT credit, and you will get CEUs for all of your national boards. So if you are interested in CPRT training, childcenteredtraining.com, but we will also have information about that on playtherapynow.com. All right, so let's talk through what we need to be thinking about when we are communicating with schools. So let's first and foremost, let's be cognizant of the fact that school personnel are not trained in mental health. Okay, so they have an education background, they have lesson planning background, they sometimes have child development background, not usually, unless it's upper level of staff. So let's keep in mind that they are doing what they know to do, which is trying to manage classroom behaviors, and it's classroom management and instruction. That is a teacher's focus. That is the bent of an education system most of the time. So if a child is struggling in the classroom, it makes everything difficult for teachers, counselors, and staff. So they're frustrated. They are not necessarily well equipped. And then out of the blue, a therapist says, "I'd really like to speak with you." That's not always favorable in their mind because they feel that it's interference. They feel like you're trying to tell them how to do their job, and they don't respond too kindly often to the suggestion that you all should talk. So the way to get around that is to come across as very helpful and supportive. And the reason why we want to come across as helpful and supportive is because if they understand that you are actively working with the child, they are actively in class with the child or at school with the child, that there's a vested interest for both of you to communicate. And if you approach it from, "I want to be helpful to you, I want to support you, I know how frustrating it is, I know the child is struggling with XYZ, And I really want to just do whatever I can to equip you and help you. They tend to receive that the best. And there are still times when even in your most helpful and supportive state, they pay you lip service and they move on and they want nothing to do with it. However, that's your best shot. Okay. So then secondly, one of the things that I found really helpful in conversations is to focus on the success and growth that you've seen. So what I mean by that is when the teacher or the principal or the guidance counselor or whomever, when they are involved with the child, it's almost always because the child is struggling. So when we are able to acknowledge the child is working on self-esteem, the child is working on self-regulation, the child is playing out good versus bad, and he or she is trying to reconcile behaviors, and they're sorting out how to comply. They're learning how to respond to limits appropriately. I'm giving them choices, and they're able to make a choice and accept the consequences of those choices. If you frame the conversation through everything that is taking place in the playroom is eventually going to carry over into the classroom, and look at all of these things that we're seeing as growth and healing and success in the playroom, that will give them some hope and encouragement. And I really do believe that if you can get a teacher, a principal, a guidance counselor to be a little bit more patient, knowing that things are happening, you know, the worst thing for school personnel is to feel like nothing's ever going to get better. If you can help them understand that things are getting better, and if they can just give you a little bit longer and wait it out a little bit more, that they will likely start to see the changes that you're seeing, that buys you some time. And that's really important because you want them to understand that there is improvement that you are witnessing, and then help them understand that you usually see it in the playroom first, because that's where a kid practices what they're learning. And then it will eventually start to convey to other environments. So that's really important. Third, I think that the approach, so not only is it awareness that we want to be helpful and supportive, but the approach really matters too. So we have to present this as, I'm wondering what you need from me, or I'm wondering what I could do to help in this situation. I'm wondering if you have questions for me. I'm wondering if there's something that I could give you that you might find helpful to use in the classroom. So I guess the summary of that is offer whatever you have. So whether that's psychoeducation, whether it's discussion of play therapy, whether it's a PDF you could send them, a podcast you could have them listen to, whether it's just role-playing a scenario, I will often say, can you help me understand what his behavior at its worst looks like in the classroom? And they're very happy to tell you how bad things are in the classroom. So they'll give you one or multiple stories of something that the child has done recently, and then that provides you an opportunity to share some insight, share some perspective, reframe for them, help them see things through a different lens, help them understand the why. They rarely, if ever, understand the why of a child's behavior. And that's what we're trained to do, right? We're always able to understand the why. So if they say, every single time it's time to go to recess, he throws a desk because such and such, such and such. Well, if you're able to enlarge that for them and help them understand that he has to sit out at recess because he's already had his recess time taken away, because he already got in trouble earlier in the day, and that's essentially re-embarrassing him, re-shaming him, re-guilting him. And of course he's mad about having to lose recess, and of course he's going to show you that he doesn't like the fact that he got in trouble. So all of a sudden, if you can paint a different picture for them, it's received much more effectively. So we want to offer whatever we have to help. And one of the things that I typically say when I'm discussing a child with school staff is, I wonder what you think I could do that would be helpful for you. And they almost always will come up with a question. And sometimes it's on the fly, and sometimes it's kind of contrived and they really don't care. But often you can tell that they really do need and want help. So I think that's a really appropriate way to get there. And then finally, I think above all, you want the conversation to have a tone of collaboration. So when you're talking, even as you're ending the call, make yourself available. Let them know they can email you, send them resources, whatever you can do. If you make it clear, I really want to collaborate on this. I know that as I work with the child, it will influence what's happening at school. I know what happens at school will influence the work in the playroom. I'd really like to keep open communication. I'd really like to keep collaboration as a focus. And the more we can support this child together, the better the outcomes will be for both of us. So, you know, to really kind of paint the picture that the more invested and involved they are in the play therapy process, and the more you are aware of what's going on at school, the better for everyone. The outcomes will inevitably be better the more people are involved in the process. So those are the four tips that I think are the most helpful. We actually discuss this a lot more in the six-figure coaching program. So we go into much more depth there, but I wanted to kind of make the easiest four something that you all can focus on, because first of all, many of you in the collective are talking about discussing things with schools and teachers and principals. So this is on a lot of y'all's minds, and a lot of you actually work in schools. So for those of you who are actively working in schools, your interaction with school staff is obviously much more prominent. So there are certainly ways that we need to try. It doesn't always go in our favor, but the more knowledgeable we are and the more we try to handle this effectively, the better the outcome will likely be. So hope that's helpful. Hope that you're able to get some takeaways there. And again, this was our final episode in the parent category. So that's exciting. And we're going to be moving into a new section next. Really looking forward to that. We're going to talk about filial therapy, interestingly enough. So love y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.